Well, the situation in Ferguson has reached the White House. The president is meeting today with his attorney general, Eric Holder, about it. And for more on that and some other political headlines, we are joined from Washington by NPR politics editor Charlie Mattesian. Charlie, welcome back.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, how is this crisis being handled by the White House at this point?
Well, the White House has indicated that the main objective in a briefing today with Attorney General Eric Holder is to find a way to quell the violence in Ferguson after a pretty rough weekend, which suggested things are moving in precisely the wrong direction. And so far, what we've seen is that the Attorney General has been briefing the president throughout the crisis. The Department of Justice has launched an investigation into the killing. And on Sunday, there was the announcement of an additional autopsy that would be performed as part of the federal investigation. And now today, when Attorney General Holder meets with the president, among the topics of discussion are going to be possible federal government responses that could reduce the violence, particularly in light of the start of the school year. Already some nearby school districts have had to delay the start of classes because of this unrest.
Is this at all tricky for the president politically as the first African-American president?
Sure. I mean, obviously, he faces issues that no other president has had to, the expectations for what he's going to say. And also, you're beginning to see it turn into something of a highly charged political situation. There hasn't been sharp criticism so far, but you are seeing some criticism on the right, particularly not directed toward the president, but at the militarization of the police.
Yeah.
And I think there'll be some additional questions asked going forward by Congress.
All right. Well, also on the president's agenda today is Iraq. And this morning, as we learned about the potential retaking of this dam in Mosul by Kurdish and Iraqi forces, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron spoke to the BBC about the situation in Iraq. Let's listen to a moment of that.
Britain is not going to get involved in another war in Iraq. We're not going to be putting boots on the ground. We're not going to be sending in the British Army.
What about the view from Washington at this point? Where does President Obama see this headed?
Well, this morning, the president and vice president met with the National Security Council to receive an update on Iraq. And that comes after a weekend that saw the expansion of the U.S. air campaign in Iraq with strikes designed to help Iraqi forces regain control of the Mosul Dam. The White House notified Congress on Sunday that this is a broadened mission, that it's going to be limited in duration and scope, though, and also made the point that the mission is consistent with the president's directive that the U.S. military will protect U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. And that's because, obviously, the failure of the strategic dam could threaten the lives of large numbers of civilians and also threaten U.S. personnel and facilities, including the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad.
And are there voices in Congress saying, no, this is the wrong move? Don't you do these airstrikes, for example?
Well, there's been muted criticism, I think, from the right. There's a larger, broader concern among many Republicans about what is the broader strategic vision involved here in Iraq. But so far, you haven't seen the kind of pointed criticism about the strike so far.
Okay, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of political stories, Charlie. One coming to us from Texas, where we learned on Friday that Governor Rick Perry has been indicted by a grand jury after withholding money from the Travis County District Attorney's Office. He says he did that after Rosemary Lemberg, the district attorney there, refused to step down when she was arrested for drunk driving. Here's Governor Perry speaking on Fox News Sunday yesterday.
And I did what every governor has done for decades, which is make a decision on whether or not it was in the proper use of state money to go to that agency, and I vetoed it.
Now, Charlie, Rick Perry is somebody who's been talked about as a 2016 candidate. Is this going anywhere, this story?
Well, Governor Perry represents the second largest state in the nation. He's one of the most prominent Republican governors, and he's also a 2016 presidential prospect. So naturally, this has already become a highly politicized affair. The governor has been defiant so far, and he's called the indictment a farce and a politically motivated prosecution. And it's obvious that the politics are highly charged. The timing, though, is particularly bad for Perry, who's in the middle of rebuilding his national image after, as you remember, him crashing and burning in the 2012 presidential primary. And so obviously, this is going to complicate that effort. But already we're seeing national Republicans rallying around him with a handful of other prominent Republican office holders, including Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, all of them issuing statements of support on Governor Perry's behalf.
And while we're talking 2016 presidential hopefuls, by the way, this story coming out of Las Vegas in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, they obtained a copy of one of Hillary Clinton's speech contracts, which appears to ask for both a presidential suite wherever she goes and a private jet as well, and a lot of other things. What about that? Is that something that's typical, or is this going to hurt her? What do you think?
Yeah, that contract was pretty eye-catching, and I think it cast the former Secretary of State in an unflattering light in the wake of the criticism in recent weeks about her lifestyle and personal wealth, and all of that has emerged from her book tour. And the problem that Hillary Clinton faces now is that after describing her family circumstances as dead broke after leaving the White House, the family's accumulated wealth since then has taken center stage. And the gold-plated details in this particular contract, such as a private Gulfstream jet, a $225,000 speaking fee, travel stipends for staff, all of that is problematic for a politician who wants to convince Americans she understands the economic struggles that ordinary voters are going through right now.
Charlie Mattesian, NPR politics editor, joining us from Washington. Charlie, thanks so much as always.
Thanks, Jeremy.